And as the Lord gives help, we'll try to follow through with them. I was telling somebody not too long ago that I think I have things in my mind pretty clear, and then when I get on the platform, it looks like it gets blurry. So I hope the Lord gives help. And then I have reason to be double nervous right now. I was requested to at least give a resume of, in Spanish, what I've said in English, so that those that came here from the assembly in East Los Angeles, why, they'll get some benefit from it. Now, first of all, will you please turn to John's Gospel, the Gospel according to John chapter 1. Verse 35. Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Matthew chapter 4, please. Mateo capitolo 4. 18 hasta 22. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now back again to the Gospel of John chapter 21, Juan capítulo 21, and we'll read verse 15 through 17, versículos 15 hasta 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto, there's a word missing in my Bible. How do you like that? Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now what I have before me are certain changes that we see in Peter's life. But actually, before I get into that, let's read in 2 Peter, chapter 1, Segundo de Pedro, capítulo 1, versículos 13 hasta 15, verse 13 to 15. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now, I trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Now, what I have before me are four changes in Peter's life. Three have already been completed, and there's one yet to come. So actually, there are three changes in his life, and he's waiting for the fourth one, which would relate to the second coming of Christ, as we'll see later. Now, the first change that he had, we read about it in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And I'm returning back to that, so as I'll get it straight. And in this particular portion of Scripture, we read here in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now here we see a change in name, Cephas. It's a wonderful thing to have a change of name. I'm speaking spiritually, of course. I wouldn't want my name changed. It would only cause confusion. But at the same time, from a spiritual standpoint, it's a wonderful thing to have a change of name. Now, this change of name, of course, came about, as some would say, his salvation. It's a matter that he came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had his name changed to Cephas, which means a stone. I wonder how many in this audience this afternoon have had a change in your name. It's a wonderful thing to have a change in your name. You know, the Apostle Paul was called Saul of Tarsus in his wicked days. But later on, as you read the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find that all of a sudden you come across the name of Paul, and no more Saul. He had a change of name. Now, you see, as Saul of Tarsus, he was the tyrant. But as Paul, he was looked upon as the little man. His name means little. So he took a big change. He wasn't so great now, trying to fight against Christ, persecuting all the saints, leading them to their death, and causing them to blaspheme the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There came a change in his life. Now, you know, when anyone gets saved, we like to see a change in their life. There was a change in Peter's life, and there was a change in Paul's life. And everyone that got saved in the Word of God, there was a change in their life. And that's why we have 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so this man, for the first time in his life, came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had his name changed. Now, you know, those who are saved, while basically we still recognize the fact that we are sinners, and we're sinners saved by grace, yet thank God we have a new name. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he addressed them as the church which is at Corinth, called to be saints, and to all them that call upon the name of the Lord, both theirs and ours. They were called to be saints. Now, if you were to read the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6, you would find a list of things that's not very complimentary. How they were indulging in grossest of sins. And he says, this is what you were at one time. Such were some of you, but now you are washed. Now you are sanctified, justified. Now you are sanctified by the Spirit of our God. There was a change that took place. That which characterized them in their old life was no more characterizing them. They had a new life, and they had to be reminded now that they had to live that new life. They had a change. They had a change from being sinners to being saints. A change from an evil life to a life that would be pleasing to God. And this is very important in relationship to our salvation, having a change. Now then, you know, as we go along in Christian living, I believe there should be changes in our life. We shouldn't be the same old thing all the time, you know. We say we're saved, and then we just use salvation as a fire escape. God has plans in our life, for our life. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for every child of God. Some seek to find out what the plan is and follow through with it. And others are just satisfied, well, anything I do doesn't matter so much, so I guess there's no use for me trying to do anything for God. That's the defeatist attitude. God has something for you to do, no matter how little it is, it's for God. No matter how big it is, it's for God. Now, what have you in mind that you think God would have you to do? You know, there are a lot of people, and they say, well, I don't know what the will of God is for me, whether I should be a preacher, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, this, that, or the other. I usually suggest that people try out certain things. If they think they should be a Sunday school teacher, well, try it out. If you feel the Lord is leading you in that direction, give it a try. And if you fail, at least you took a try. There's another area, perhaps, where God wants you to fit. But He does have a place for every one of His children. You see, when I read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I read these words, that He has placed in the body, the members in the body, as it hath pleased Him. So whatever place you have been placed in the body, that's where God wants you to fit, and that's where God wants you to work. Now, we're going over to John chapter 1, or pardon me, Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to see now that Peter had a change in his life. The first change was a change of soul. You know, he might not have thought much of Christ, but now when he came in contact with the living God, with the Lord Himself, I should say, why, you know, he had a change. His soul became right with God at that point, as far as salvation was concerned. Now, when we come to this place, we see there's a change in his life. It's a marvelous change. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now here we see the Lord saw these men, and Peter was one of them. And what did he say? Follow me. What did Peter do? He left his business and he began to follow Christ. And the Lord said, I will make you fishers of men. You know, it's very interesting if you observe closely enough, men that have been called into service for God, there are ways in which things would characterize them in their life before they were called into any particular service. They might be the very diligent type, or they might be the very theological type. They may be even a more simple type of a person. But whatever their characteristic was, before they were called out into any particular service, it seems like that particular characteristic is that which follows through their service for God. Now here we see an example. These men were fishers. And I suppose they were expert fishers. They know how to get that net down and draw a big load of fish. Sometimes they didn't, but other times they did. Now they were going to be fishers of men. And I suppose with the experience they had as fishing for fish, they spiritually would use it to try to win men and women and boys and girls for Christ. There would be some characteristic about them that would detect them as being fishers. But in this case now, they become fishers of men. There was a service that God had for them. Now, I don't know what your service is that God has for you. I like to look at it this way. I like to take three things in consideration as to service for God. Number one, prayer. Number two, the Word of God. Number three, circumstances. And usually it works that way. If I'm concerned about being able to do something for the Lord, be of some service for Him, have a change in my life that will be of use to Him, I pray about it. I seek His mind. I seek His will. I seek His guidance. And then, you know, I read the Word of God. I don't try to find a scripture that's going to fit my desire. That would only be fictitious. That wouldn't be real. But as I read the Word of God, a little at a time, through my readings of the Scripture, there will be something that will be revealed to me through the written Word of God. I've had that experience. The Word of God coming to me in a remarkable way, and strange enough, it came to me in two languages. The first time, it came to me in English. And the second time, without me thinking about it, it came to me in Spanish. How do you like that? And I felt, well, maybe the Lord really has something for me to do. And I began to follow through with it. And thank God I've been following through ever since by His grace and by His help and guidance. But you see, this is what I believe should take place to guide us. There are guiding principles which we should follow in order to find out what service has God for me to do. Prayer, the Word of God. Now then, circumstances should fit in with it. You see? And if circumstances fit in with it, you can just about feel sure, well, that's the thing for me. You know, Peter, when he was on that housetop and had the vision, God spoke to him. And do you know, everything just worked perfectly. Circumstances, the Word of God, and everything else. It just worked perfectly for him to go to the house of the centurion. And do you know what? He saw souls saved, a whole houseful. Because he went according to the mind and will of God and following the leading and the guiding of God Himself. So here we see now this man. He had a good beginning. He came in contact with the Lord for salvation. His name changed. He came in contact again with the Lord in relation to service. And what happens? He had his service changed. His occupation was changed from a fisherman, that is, just fishing for fish in the sea, to being fishers of men, winning men and women and boys and girls for Christ. And one of his big sermons is found in Acts chapter 2. And there he's preaching to the whole house of Israel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the remission of sins. And so on. And we find that there were more than 3,000, about 3,000 souls that were saved that day. Boy, he was a real fisherman that time, wasn't he? A great fisher of men. But you see, the Lord put him in that position. Now, many of us have a good beginning. Some of us have a good continuance. And some have a good end. Some have a good beginning. And they have a good continuance for a while. And they take a plunge. But they get restored again. And they go ahead. And they have a good finish. But you know, the story can also be that some have a good beginning. They start off pretty well. All of a sudden, they have a plunge. And they never come back. They stay that way until they're out. They don't have a good end. Now, unfortunately, Peter, truly enough, had a good beginning. He came in contact with the Lord, and he had his name changed. That never he lost. He never did lose that. But on the other hand, we must remember that he also had a good beginning in relation to serving the Lord. The Lord called him, and he went out into service. But you know, there was something wrong with Peter. He was a quick man. He was quick to give answers as if he knew it all. And you know, he took a plunge. And that's what leads us to John, where we read about the Lord questioning him, "Do you love me?" There was something that took place that I want you to read. I want you to notice actually what happened. And this is a danger spot for any child of God, whether he be young in the faith or old in the faith, makes no difference. It is a danger spot in the life of a child of God. Now turn to Matthew chapter 26 and see just what this danger spot's all about. Matthew 26. verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me. Mateo 26, y versículo 31 hasta 35. All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now, verse 69, versículo 69, hasta 75. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He fell, didn't he? What do you suppose was the cause? Self-confidence. I never will deny thee. Do you know what self-confidence is? It's another form of pride. And the scriptures teach me this, that pride cometh before a fall. Oh, I have seen certain ones. And pride is written across their chest. It's obvious. But the fact of the matter is, pride cometh before a fall. The Lord himself said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Peter was well-meaning, I don't question that. But at the same time, he was traveling on very dangerous ground. And the very thing that the Lord said he would do is the very thing that he did. The Lord said on a previous occasion to this, and I believe he was referring to this particular occasion, he said, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. You know, we often hear people talk about different families, and it's nice to see all the family in the assembly, but you know, it has also been said by older brethren, you know, we're not in heaven yet. Did you hear that? We're not in heaven yet. We have to be on guard at all times. And pride is something that is sure to cause a person to fall. And I speak like this with fear in my own heart. And I trust it grips your heart this afternoon, especially those of you that are younger in the faith, and perhaps you have some ideas about serving the Lord. Remember, don't go into service for God with pride in the heart. You're headed for a downfall just as sure as you're sitting in that seat. And here we see poor Peter, a good beginning at conversion, a good beginning in public service. And all of a sudden, the devil gets a hold of him. But thank God he got restored. We don't leave him there. We don't leave him there. He's been restored. We'll get to that in a moment. You see, after Peter was restored, there's this verse that I want you to understand. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says this: Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He had the experience. He had the experience. And now he's passing that experience on to me. He's passing that experience unto you. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. You know, it's a solemn thing to live the Christian life. It's not a plaything. It's a very solemn thing to live the Christian life. You'll either make it into heaven successfully with the help of the Lord, or you might go to heaven with a reproach on your head. Solemn thing to think about. Well, now this that I quoted is the result of him being a shepherd. Because you see, the first and second epistle of Peter's is a shepherd epistle. If you read it through, you'll see he has pity for those that are suffering. He went through it. And he counsels others about how they should live, holiness unto the Lord, how they should treat one another as brethren. Read the both epistles, and you'll find that it's a shepherd epistle. But now let's get to the restoration. That's the bright side. Let's go back again now to John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 15. Otra vez Juan 21 y 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. This man was restored. Now, he wasn't restored like we like to restore people. They'll come and sit in the back. They're repentant. They'd like to be able to confess they did wrong, and we're going to sit and wait until they approach us. That's wrong. The Lord never did that. He went to Peter. Did you hear me? He went to Peter. Here it is right here. Lovest thou me? Number one. Lovest thou me? Number two. Lovest thou me? Number three. He made sure that he would get to the heart of Peter. And you know what elders need to do today, as I'm beginning to realize more and more, is to try to get to the heart of the people. And don't leave them stranded in a back seat. That is the work of an elder, to get to God's people and try to restore them if they have backslidden. That's the work of an elder. And this is what he does in his two epistles. And this man was restored. Thank God for that. And he was put back in service. Now I'm going to make a statement. I know you're not going to, some of you at least won't agree with it. But you'll allow me the privilege to express how I feel about this. I believe that when a man is restored to the assembly of God's people, if he has been truly forgiven and truly restored to the assembly, as he proves himself, he becomes a fit subject to serve in the assembly. Now, that has not been the belief of many. They say, well, you know, he did such and such. and he did such and such. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, blameless. Now, wait a minute. I want you to think of something. The Word of God says blameless. Here's a man. Here's Peter. And then, of course, if he's in our assembly, what are we going to do with him? We'll forgive him. We'll receive him. Are we going to hold a blame on him? If you forgive a man, you can't hold a blame. If you restore a man to fellowship, scripturally, you cannot hold a blame. He's either forgiven or he's not. He's either restored to fellowship or he's not. Well, you say, what does 1 Timothy 3 mean? Blameless. It's talking about an existing, present condition. That's what it's talking about. Now, let me bring this before you. One of the qualifications of an elder is simply this. One that ruleth well his own house. Here comes a brother, and he approaches the elders. He says, you know, I'd like to be one of the elders. I'd like to be received as an elder. The brethren will scratch their head and say, well, brother, you know, we would like to be able to accommodate you, but you see, we can't do it very well. Why? Well, you see, you are not ruling well your house. It's a present condition, something that is existing, not something that has been forgiven. Now, I wonder if we understand this. Forgiveness takes away the blame. Restoration takes away the blame. And whatever the blame is, it has to be existing to be able to refuse a man into the eldership. Now, that's the way I see it. And once a man has been absolved of all blame by forgiveness and restoration, the Lord brings him back into service. He did it with David. He did it with this man. And he did it with others. Now, how do we stand in light of this? These are things that I see in the Word of God, just as clear as crystal. Now, this man was received. He was brought back into service. And then he begins to give counsel. Now, I don't take time to go into that because my time is up. I'll just say, tell to the Spanish people what I was about to say, what I had said in English. Yo estaba hablando acerca de tres cambios de este hombre. El cuatro yo no hice mención de eso. Pero el cuatro tiene que ver con el cambio del cuerpo. Pero había tres cambios en su vida. Lo primero se ve en Juan capítulo 1 y 35, y en ese lugar, él, es decir, Pedro, se encontró con el Señor Jesucristo y tenía su nombre cambiado a Cefas. Y eso es la primera cosa que nosotros notamos, que cuando uno acepta al Señor Jesucristo, su nombre es cambiado de pecador a santo. Y cuando nosotros hablamos o leemos en el libro de los Corintios, capítulo 1, allí hallamos que son llamados santos. Llamados santos. Qué buena cosa es de notar que cuando uno acepta al Señor Jesucristo hay un cambio en la vida. Y yo estaba diciendo que nosotros debemos tener cambios diaria en nuestra vida. No solamente ser contentos que hemos sido cambiados de pecadores a creyentes, santos, más bien hay otras cosas en la vida que debe entrar para cambiar nuestra vida. Y por eso yo seguí con Mateo capítulo 4, donde el Señor Jesucristo se encontró con cuatro discípulos. Y uno de estos discípulos era Pedro. Y él dijo a los discípulos, seguidme a mí. Otro cambio en la vida de Pedro. En vez de ser pescadores de los peces, entonces el Señor le llamó para que sea pescadores de hombres. Fíjense en eso. Pescadores de hombres. Un cambio grande en la vida de Pedro. Por supuesto, cada creyente debe buscar la voluntad de Dios en su vida. No es una cosa de decir, yo soy salvo. No es una cosa de decir, yo voy al cielo, nunca voy al infierno, y estar contento con eso. El Señor nos salvó para que le sirvamos a Él, para que nosotros hagamos algo en relación de la obra del Señor. No importa cómo pequeño es o cómo grande es, el asunto es que nosotros debemos buscar la mente de Dios. Yo mencioné tres maneras como podemos hallar la mente de Dios en cuanto a nuestra vida: oración, la palabra de Dios y las circunstancias. La oración es muy importante para guiarnos, por en eso estamos pidiendo la voluntad de Dios. En cuanto a la palabra de Dios, no es una cuestión de buscar un versículo que nos va a ayudar. Es solamente leer la palabra de Dios y permitir que un día el Espíritu Santo nos muestra lo que el Señor tiene para nosotros. Y una vez que vemos eso, entonces las circunstancias, si es la voluntad de Dios, va a caer junto con todo. Y en eso podemos hallar la voluntad de Dios. Yo no tengo tiempo para probar eso por la palabra de Dios, porque yo tengo que dar lugar a otro hermano. Pero en fin, este hombre, cuando él recibió su mandato de ser pescador de los hombres, él comenzó bien en la vida, sin embargo no terminó bien en la vida. Es decir, él terminó bien, pero él cayó. Eso es lo que yo quiero decir. Él terminó bien después. Ahora, ¿qué pasa? La soberbia entró. El Señor le dijo, tú vas a negar a mí. No, dijo Pedro, nunca voy a negar a ti, nunca. ¿Qué es eso? Es la confianza de la carne. Y la confianza de la carne es una soberbia, una forma de soberbia. Y la palabra de Dios dice que la soberbia viene antes de una caída. Y por eso es una cosa solemne de vivir la vida cristiana. Es una cosa muy solemne porque vamos a terminar con éxito o vamos a terminar sin nada. Y por eso uno debe tomar a cuenta que la vida cristiana es una cosa muy solemne. Gracias a Dios, él fue restaurado. Tres veces el Señor le dijo, Pedro, amas a mí, Pedro, amas a mí, Pedro, amas a mí, tres veces. Sí, tres veces él contestó, pero la tercera vez con tristeza. Tú sabes todo, tú sabes que yo te amo. Entonces él fue restaurado y en fin, él siguió con su epístola mostrándonos que él era un hombre, un pastor que Dios le hizo para el pueblo de Dios. Y hay consejos en ambos epístolas de Pedro que nos indica que él era un pastor. Él tenía misericordia para los que estaban sufriendo y había exhortaciones en cuanto a la vida en general, cómo nosotros debemos seguir en santidad para Dios. Y todos deben leer estas dos epístolas con esta en mente, que él está hablando como un pastor. Y eso es la clave de todo lo que yo estaba diciendo en inglés. Y yo espero que Dios bendiga su palabra para su honra y su gloria. Now I trust the Lord will bless what was said in English for his own honor and glory.